My name is Alex, and I'm going to talk about our work on utilizing the empty half of full bisection networks. And I'm going to start by asking myself a question, that is, what is the best data center network topology? And a lot of people believe that the answer is this, and this is one big non-blocking switch. And this would be the answer, however, in most practical cases, this is either impossible or extremely expensive. So if we need or we want that kind of performance, we just have to settle for the second best option, and that is a full bisection topology. Here I have a small dummy VL2 topology that only hosts 16 servers, and because of that, it only uses 2 gigabit links in the network core instead of 10. But I'm still going to try and make a few points with it. Okay, so first, a full bisection network really shines whenever we have a lot of data to shuffle around. And whenever that happens, every link will be almost fully or even fully utilized, and we are going to get the best possible performance. So if you often encounter that case in practice, this is the best solution, and it is much better than any oversubscribed topology. Unfortunately, this is not always the case. In fact, this seldom happens. This is more the case when we expect this to happen on the scale of the entire data center. So basically, what is more likely to appear is the fact that instead of one big traffic pattern, we have a lot of small ones which combine to give us the entire traffic pattern for the topology. So for example, we may have a connection between these two servers which doesn't take up a lot of bandwidth because, well, it doesn't need to. And we may have a larger connection, for example, a file transfer, which starts to become bottlenecked by the network interfaces of the servers. And a more severe case of a bottleneck is this, when three servers that are sending are being bottlenecked by one that is receiving. And while all this is happening, we may even encounter some idle links. And of course, this is a contrived example, but this and many similar examples show that data center networks can be and often are underutilized. That is, we pay for a lot of capacity, but we are only using a fraction of it. And that somewhat goes against the core principle behind the data center, that is resource pooling. Basically, in a data center, we have a lot of different applications which exhibit different loads at different times. And we hope that due to statistical multiplexing, we are going to somehow get the most out of our hardware. And this is already happening for resources such as CPU, memory, and storage, but unfortunately, it doesn't happen for the network capacity itself. So now I'm going to state our goal, and that is to extend the resource pooling principle to data center networks. And while doing this, we also identified some desirable properties for any solution. And first and foremost, we would like it to be as cheap as possible, because cost is often the one factor that says yes or no regarding one practical solution. Moreover, we would like it to be widely applicable, because there are already a lot of data center topologies, and we would like to take our solution and use it in conjunction with any of them, or at least as many of them as possible. And last but not least, we would like it to be easily and incrementally deployable, because nobody would really like to shut down an entire data center just to, you know, add our solution. And moreover, we also found some practical requirements. First and foremost, we are going to need additional server network ports. And that is because whenever one server needs additional capacity, this means that it is already using all its available capacity. So basically, it will need more links to the network. And well, the good news is that data center servers nowadays usually ship with dual or quad port network interfaces. So we hope to be able to find at least some free ports there. And our second requirement is the use of multipart TCP. Multipart TCP basically allows one TCP connection to be split into multiple subflows. And each subflow can then take a different path. And the best thing is that this is happening in a completely transparent manner to the upper layers of the stack. So we don't have to modify any existing application. Okay, so these are this is the goal, and these are the requirements. And now I'm going to talk about our solutions. Well, the most straightforward solution is to multi-home each server in the topology. And in order to see how we do that, I'm going to ask you to focus for a few moments on a single rack on the topology. Okay, so this is the rack. We have one top of the rack switch and the four servers. First, we add an additional switch. Then we evenly divide the uplinks that goes to the core of the network between the two top of the rack switches. And finally, we add a second connection from each server to the second top of the rack switch. What will happen now is that if you use multiparty CPN, for example, only these two servers are actually using the network, they might double their available capacity because basically they are pulling it. And if more servers become active, it's going to be equally divided. And here is the entire topology with the multi-homing thing done. Well, multi-homing does offer increased performance. However, unfortunately, it can be rather expensive because we need additional switches that need additional space, and they also need additional maintenance. So it can be costly. So because of this factor, we believe that a better overall solution is what we call green. In order to see how we build a green topology, I'm again going to focus on a single rack. So this time, instead of adding any more switches, we simply use an existing extra network port to simply interconnect the server using what we call a horizontal or green link that I showed in the picture. And we call this entire topology green one. The one means that we are only using one extra network port. And if you were wondering why we called it green, well, this is the reason. Of course, we are not limited to a single network port. If we want to use more, for example, in a green 2 topology, it will look something like this. Okay, in the multi-homing example, the routing was quite straightforward because basically it was the same as in the original topology. However, now we have some additional possibilities, and it's not easy or obvious to see the way. So now I'm going to talk about this. First and foremost, each server will keep for the uplink the address from the original topology. And for the horizontal links, we are going to use some random local addresses which don't matter that much. And for example, if you have this server, server A, and server A would like to establish a connection to server B, this will happen. In each green topology, the first subflow of a connection is going to be established using a direct path. A direct path is a path that doesn't use any horizontal links. And when this is done, we are going to use a feature of multiparty CP, which is called address advertisement. And this will tell server A that server B also has some additional addresses where it might be reached. For example, here we specify the address of B's neighbor. Now server A is going to get that information, is going to detect or construct an additional path. And let's just say that we are going to create a path that will use two horizontal links. So A will choose C as a first intermediate server, and then it will choose D as the second intermediate server. And we are going to try to route this flow from A to C, from C to D, and then from D to B. So for each packet sent on this flow, the following will happen. In the IP header for the destination field, we will specify the address of B, however. However, in an additional IP option, we will state that the real destination is in fact B. And this packet will simply be put on the horizontal link between A to C. Now, when C is going to receive that packet, it is going to inspect the real destination. And it is going to see that, well, that packet is not for him. So since C received the packet from a horizontal link, it will just use the routing scheme from the original topology to send it from itself to its immediate destination, and that is D. And, well, the packet will get there. D will again inspect the header and then the options, and it will again see that the packet is not for him. So because of that, D will then, knowing that B can be reached to the corresponding horizontal link, simply forward it and the packet has reached destination. So right now, basically, this is a connection which consists of two subflows. And if everything is right, we can double the available bandwidth. This being just a simple example, now I'm going to speak about the actual routing algorithm using in a green topology. So the question is, if we have two servers A and B, how do we determine a path between them? Well, all available paths are determined in the following manner. First, we are going to pick C as being A or any of A's neighbors. Then we are going to pick D as being B or any of B's neighbors. And finally, we are going to pick a path from the original topology called P here between C and D. When we have all these three elements, we are going to construct the full path like this. So the green path between A and B is going to start at A, go to C through a horizontal link, Then go from C to D using the path from the original topology, and finally, again on a horizontal link, it will finally reach B. Of course, this is only going to work as long as A, B, C, and D represent distinct servers. If this is not the case, then we are simply going to take them and construct the shortest path that makes sense with them. Well, green also surprisingly offers increases performance, and to actually see how considerable is the increase in performance, I'm going to ask you to wait until the evaluation section coming up shortly. And as a big advantage, is also cheap and it is easy to deploy. It is cheap because we assume that we already have those available extra network ports just waiting for us, and we are going to use them. And since we are just going to wire them up, the costs are going to be simply the cost for each network cable in particular. However, we might face a serious issue here, and that is the issue of server forwarding overhead, because in a regular topology and in the multi-home topology, servers are passive. They only send the packets to the switches, and the switches do all the switching. But in a green topology, servers now act as intermediate switching sites. So we have asked ourselves exactly how costly is this. Well, I'm happy to say that the routing overhead is not that significant. That is, if we are going to forward the packets close to the MTU, that is 1,400 bytes packets at full speed and even in both directions, not more than 10% of one single core is going to be utilized. So, of course, that is up for debate, but we believe that it doesn't represent a significant overhead. So, that being said, I'm going to welcome you to the evaluation section of this talk. In order to evaluate this, we did not have access to a physical setup, so we had to settle for a simulated virtual topology. Well, we didn't simulate the same small topology, we tried to go a little bigger, and we used one consisting of 120 servers, which were then placed in six racks. And we tried to compare four topologies. We compared the multi-home topology that uses only one additional switch with three green topology, one, two, and three. Basically, we chose this particular setup because, as I said earlier, we expect to already have available one to three network ports. So if we wanted to go higher than that, we had to actually buy additional. So we're just limited to these four topologies. And we also make some assumptions. First and foremost, each flow is a long flow. That is its duration is longer than the duration of the simulation. And we also use non-local connection only. That is connections going between servers from different racks. And that is because in our topology, the rack size is the same as in one huge topology, but we have way less servers. So in order to eliminate any undesirable side effects, we made this assumption. And each experiment tries to emulate one connection matrix. The first is a well-known permutation traffic matrix. That is, we have a number of servers which are active. Each active server will pick a destination at random and we then send flat out to it. And each destination may only receive data from one single sender. Okay, so here are the results. On the horizontal axis, we have the percentage of hosts that are actually sending. And on the vertical axis, we have the throughput improvement. That is, a throughput improvement of one represents the best possible performance from the original topology, and then it goes, two times better and so forth. So for multi-home, the results are this. We see that the performance improvement will decline rather steadily, and that happens because in a multi-home topology, the entire bandwidth is divided evenly between all the servers from one rack. And now, this is green one topology. Well, green one topology has the advantage that is basically the cheapest thing possible, and it's way cheaper than multi-home. Here is the green two topology, which is basically at most as expensive as the multi-home one, and this is the green three topology, which is arguably as costly as the multi-home topology. Green topologies do decline a little faster because now instead of sharing with 20 servers, you share with the number of your neighbors, so it's a lot more likely to find it already occupied. And the second relevant experiment I'm going to show is for a group traffic matrix. That is, we take all the servers, we divide them into groups of equal size, and within each group, we have one destination and multiple senders, which again try to overwhelm the destination with data. This, as you are going to see, is the best case scenario for us. So, multi-home now offers a steady increase of performance. Green one, is going to be the lowest performing of all. Then we have green two, and then we have green three, and now we can be proud of this very nice increase in performance. And basically, as I said, this is both the best case scenario and one that is quite likely to occur in practice. As a conclusion, we are very happy with our solution. Because it is simple, it is cheap, and it is also easily deployable. However, there are still two major future work directions, and these are, first, we have to actually build a green topology, because maybe the simulation doesn't tell us everything. And second, we really have to investigate the influence that we have on low latency flows and to find some ways to mitigate any undesirable effects. That being said, thank you, and I'm going to take any question you may have.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, very quick question.
Please.
Yeah, so in the network that you showed,
yes,
the extra network that you added, is they are connecting nodes that are under the same top of the rack switch. So
yes.
Did you consider what the effect on your bandwidth utilization will be if those connections actually span multiple top of the rack switches?
Well, in a full bisection network, it shouldn't matter that much because basically...
You would not be going through multiple hops. You can actually...
Oh, yes, that is also an option, but it will considerably make the routing more complex. And we settled for this particular scheme because it proved to be the best on average. So while this may bring some benefits somehow... we believe that for now this is still the best option. And again, another reason is the fact that if you connect servers which are very far away, you are going to face some actual cabling issues. So
okay.
That may be a problem.
Thanks.